From WHYY News in Philadelphia, this is special coverage of the 2024 presidential campaign. The polls are officially closed across the Delaware Valley, but the eyes of the nation are looking at the Keystone State. Tonight's question, will Pennsylvania be the keystone to victory for either Kamala Harris or Donald Trump? Good evening, I'm Tom McDonald. The WHYY News team, along with our analysts, will take a look at the voting and give you what to look for as the night progresses. We'll also take you into the campaign headquarters with our reporters to give you a feel for how people are reacting to today's events. Special coverage from WHYY News begins now. And we're going to take you around the region and the tri-state area with our team of reporters, more than a dozen in all. Let's start out with Kenny Cooper, who's in the Pennsylvania suburbs. Kenny is with the Democrats. Kenny, what have you heard so far today?
It's been a pretty energetic day so far out in the Pennsylvania suburbs. You know, at my own polling location in Cheltenham, as soon as I arrived, there was a DJ playing. And I've since shifted away from the Philadelphia suburbs to Philadelphia. I'm here at the Divine Lorraine Hotel in North Philadelphia as the polls close and the doors have opened for Democrat Malcolm Kenyatta's watch party.
Kenny, we've been hearing about long lines. What have you seen when you've been going around the region?
You know, long lines in the morning to lulls in the middle of the afternoon to long lines once again. That's the scene at some of the polling locations across the suburbs and in Philadelphia itself.
Tell us about the Malcolm Kenyatta race. I mean, he is one of those who has been around. He has run for various offices, and he is hoping to bring a victory home again tonight.
Yes, Malcolm Kenyatta is a state representative in Philadelphia. This is his hometown, and he's running against incumbent Republican Tim DeFore in the race for Auditor General. Now, for those listening at home, the Auditor General race is essentially the role of chief fiscal watchdog for Pennsylvania. They ensure that money is adequately managed and that the government is held accountable for taxpayer dollars. So while it doesn't have the, you know, name recognition of the gubernatorial race, the Auditor General is an important job.
And he's also one who has worked hard to be a person looking to be the underdog. He has been the underdog in just about every race he's run.
Yes, you're right. You know, he made a lot of history as being one of Pennsylvania's youngest legislators. And if elected, he will become Pennsylvania's first openly gay official elected to statewide office.
And he has worked very hard to work through that. And we'll see what happens as the night comes along. Kenny, anything else you have to add for us?
No, actually, the party is just getting started. Music is kicking off, and I'm assuming that the doors are going to be open soon. So I'll have more for you later tonight.
All right, Kenny, we'll keep up with you as the night progresses. WHYY's Kenny Cooper covering some of the Democrats in our region. Now let's go to one of our premier races of the night. We're going to go to Scranton, where Bob Casey is, and Amanda Fitzpatrick is with us. Amanda, good evening.
Hi, good evening. Yes, I definitely consider Bob Casey, the incumbent, who has served for three terms as the senator representing Pennsylvania. And he has admitted that he is definitely having been given a run for his money by his opponent, Dave McCormick, which is a Republican contender. The biggest thing we saw today when we arrived at Scranton High School, where Senator Bob Casey came to cast his ballot, he walked up and he had about 30 or 40 different supporters there. They all had signs and shirts. They were yelling, "Casey Country." Keep in mind that Senator Casey is from Scranton. This is his hometown. His father was a governor. His, you know, family has held different political positions across the state and then here in Scranton. So he is, as you can imagine, as loved as it could be as far as a candidate coming to a polling location. I did not see many McCormick supporters. There was one student who came towards the end and he had a sign up, but for the most part, there were, again, dozens of supporters for Harris Walz and supporters for Casey wearing shirts, and they all said the same thing, that he is from here, they support him, and they're looking for him to win. But he has admitted that it's been a tough race.
And it's been a very heavily politicized race with a lot of advertising, and McCormick has been portrayed as the ultimate carpetbagger. I mean, are you seeing a lot of that when you're out there, a lot of signage up, especially in Scranton?
I can tell you just in watching the local news and just the ads that have popped up, they call him Connecticut McCormick, and that is because he did come from Connecticut. So there has been a lot of conversations. Even, you know, I found it interesting when I first arrived in Scranton yesterday, I ran into two ladies who came from New York. One lived in Manhattan, the other lived in Connecticut. They came here to canvass the area. They showed me on their phone they had a map of voters who were either independent or they were Democratic voters they hadn't been able to get in touch with. They were going door to door, Tom, and talking to these voters. And one of them told me that, you know, she spoke Spanish and she was talking to some of the voters about, you know, Kamala Harris, about Casey. And they were saying that they were voting Democratic because of comments made about Puerto Rico. So it's just interesting to hear some of these stories from the people that have come from states that they know are going to vote blue or, you know, that are going to turn red. So they've traveled here to try to get the vote out. One man that I spoke to today also told me that he is with the union and that he drove from Maryland so that he could canvass. And he said that Casey is for the working man. He did talk about his opponent, McCormick, and said that he felt that he was for the rich and for China. And they were chanting that as well. As saying that, you know, he supported Casey. And I will have to tell you that I watched the Senator Casey went from person to person. He hugged probably 20 people. And it's a small world. A lot of them either know each other through growing up or just having that connection because this is his home turf. And he was able to go in and vote. And I was able to talk to him one-on-one as he was walking in. I was the only reporter talking to him. And I asked him, you know, how did he feel about the fact that they call it Casey Country? He said that he is still trying to get their votes and that he's not taking it for granted or taking it lightly, that he has great supporters, but he hopes that he can get it till the end. And he was also asked when we talked to him if this was one of the toughest races. Keep in mind, he's been in office for three terms, so he's hoping to go for a fourth. And he said, yes, this has been one of his hardest races in his career. And he, you know, he didn't seem doubtful, but he wasn't 100% sure. So tonight I'm outside of the place where they're having their election watch night party. And I'll be able to be inside to just kind of get a gauge of what the atmosphere is like. But if you walk around Scranton, as far as seeing signs, there are some signs up, but a lot of them are more geared towards the presidential race. And there are some that are hoping that I talk to that people that are coming out to vote for the first time, like the student I spoke to from the
university. Amanda, we have breaking news, so I want to go. I need to go to David Matthau in New Jersey. We are hearing Andy Kim at 8:07 has already been declared the winner in his contest. Oliver Morrison will get to you in Pittsburgh in a little bit. David Matthau, tell us what you're hearing at Kim headquarters.
We have not gotten any official word or even unofficial word at this point, Tom. However, I can tell you that the Kim for Senate group was warning reporters that this decision may come down the line very quickly tonight. And so we should be prepared because there's a large crowd here. It's an excited crowd. They're looking at a big jumbo TV screen right now of the national election between Harris and Trump. But everybody is obviously very excited about Andy Kim. And again, though, we have not heard any official or unofficial word to this point that he has been declared the winner.
Well, David, we are getting word that the Associated Press has already declared that race, and we are waiting to hear what happens. You know, it's 8:08 already, and they're declaring a winner in the race. So that's an amazing thing. But this race really wasn't much of a contest. I mean, Curtis Bashoff from Cape May, hotelier, was trying to fight the hard race, but Andy Kim's just got notoriety with his name all over the state of New Jersey.
And also keep in mind that in this state of New Jersey, there are almost a million more registered Democrats than Republicans. And while recent polls indicated that a lot of people didn't know a whole heck of a lot about this race, even in that instance, they're going to heavily lean toward the Democratic candidate. Kim has a very dedicated following. People are extremely enthusiastic about him. This room, again, people are snacking, having drinks right now, but everybody's extremely excited. And if the AP has called the race already, it should not be too long before Senator-elect Kim comes down to the ballroom here at the DoubleTree by Hilton in Cherry Hill and gives a victory speech.
Now, we will be waiting for that, and if we have an opportunity to bring it to you live, we will. David Matthau, please keep us apprised if you hear anything coming up during the hour. Thank you, David Matthau, in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, at Andy Kim headquarters. We did get just an update from DA Larry Krasner. He says there have been some bomb threats, but they were determined to be unfounded. In one case, an individual came into a polling place saying he would bomb that place and was detained. Krasner said at this time it was just a verbal threat, no evidence it was real. We ready to go to Delaware, guys? Okay, we are going to go to Pittsburgh with Oliver Morrison from WESA. He's at McCormick headquarters. Oliver, thank you for joining us here on WHYY. What's the feeling there tonight? It seems like there's a lot of Democratic wave, and we're wondering what's happening out there.
Well, if there's a Democratic wave coming, you can't tell it at this party. This is a fancy hotel. People are decked to the nines. There are a lot of people. There's a full band. People are excited. I haven't talked to too many people here, but the people I've been able to talk to, say they think McCormick is going to win. Whether or not that's true, McCormick has closed the gap. In recent weeks, he has had a couple polls that have showed him up, although the majority of the polls have still showed Casey winning.
Well, this is a very interesting race, I know, in Pennsylvania, because we've got the Democratic strongholds in Pittsburgh, where you are, and Philadelphia, where I am. But in the center of the state, you definitely have a Republican tee that we look to see come in, but that'll come in as the night progresses. What were you seeing in the Pittsburgh area with people coming out? Were the volume high at the polling places? I mean, what did you see today during the day?
Yeah, there were some of the very Democratic voting places that did have really high turnout. Near the universities, for example, was a very high turnout place. So we saw some of that. And just over my reporting in the last few months, when I've been out in the suburbs, I've occasionally bumped into the kind of voter who's like someone who turned Trump maybe two or three elections ago, but still likes the Casey name and was planning on voting Casey. So that's a chance. Although Dave McCormick did hold an event here last week with Nikki Haley and was hoping to peel off some support in the suburbs with his appearance with her last week.
Without a doubt, a lot of money poured into that race. Oliver Morrison in Pittsburgh with McCormick, we thank you very much. We're now going to go to the first state of Delaware. Chris Barish is watching the GOP down in Delaware. Chris, good evening. Welcome to WHYY. Tell us what you're experiencing down there.
Well, I'm at the Republican Party Elections Party at the Christiana Hilton near Newark. There's about 100 people, and there's guarded optimism that maybe they can pick up one of the five statewide seats that are up for grabs. The numbers are against them in Delaware, where Democrats have an almost 2-to-1 registration advantage and have hold all 9 statewide seats and dominate the General Assembly. Already the AP has declared Lisa Blunt Rochester, the congresswoman, as the victor in the U.S. Senate race. She's a Democrat, and she'll succeed Tom Carper. The other races we're watching are the race for U.S. House with Sarah McBride, state senator, vying to become the first transgender member of Congress. She's a Democrat, and she's expected to win even by the people here. The other big races are for governor, where Democrat Matt Meyer is facing Republican House Minority Leader Mike Ramone. Some people here think Ramone has a pretty good shot because he's been a legislator in a heavily Democratic district. But once again, we'll see the registration numbers are heavily Democratic. And then the other bigger race is for lieutenant governor, where Republican former legislator Ruth Briggs King is hoping she could knock off state senator Kyle Evans Gay. So, you know, there's a little optimism. Very guarded, though, at the Republican Party. They're just trying to figure out ways to rebuild in the future.
All right, Chris Barish from WHYY News. We'll hear back from you a little later in the program. Let's go to the Philadelphia Democrats, where Susan Phillips is from WHYY, our senior reporter. Susan, what are you hearing from? I'm hearing some good numbers for turnout.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think there's a lot of optimism in this room. A couple of people have told me they were cautiously optimistic, but I talked to a lot of folks who are out and about this afternoon and this morning and talking to voters and getting the vote out. And I feel like they feel like the energy has sort of shifted over the last couple of days. I talked to a lot of people who went to the rally on the Parkway, and I think that really helped boost their spirits and their optimism. But again, Tom, it's neck and neck. People seem happy and optimistic here. But again, we don't know. We don't really know what's going to happen yet.
Susan, I know you saw some big numbers at your polling place today, and we're hearing some numbers that it could be a record turnout in Philadelphia. Has anybody said anything about that at the headquarters?
You know, I think what happened with me this morning, like when I talked to people, I went to my polling booth at around 11, and I was voter number 210. And there is already 176 mail-in votes. And so we did the math, and it was above 50% turnout already at 11 in the morning. So I think that, like, really seemed to kind of be unusual. Not unusual necessarily, but at least gave people at the voting booth hope that a lot of people were turning out.
All right, WHYY News, Susan Phillips at Democratic headquarters. We are going to go to Aaron Moselle, who's looking at the other side of the ticket at Republican headquarters. Aaron, what are you seeing?
Hey, Tom. So as we know, you know, all eyes are on Pennsylvania, and that means turnout in Philly and its suburbs are expected to have a big impact on who takes the state and, you know, ultimately who wins the election. And with Philly's Republican Party, they don't expect the city to turn red. You know, it's just not possible when the Democrats have such a huge edge on the voter rolls. The question is how much they can offset that edge, you know, how much they can so-called dilute the Democratic vote here, because if they can, Republicans in the city really, and Republicans really turn out, they really think that that could tip things in Trump's favor, even though the city as a whole will certainly be blue. You know, this is evidence the Harris campaign, you know, last night was in Philly. She's trying to shore up votes here. But, you know, leaders that I talked to just recently feel pretty good, just anecdotally, based on what they're seeing from the polls, just high turnout that they haven't seen in some time. And Republican voters that I talked to at the polls also seemed optimistic that the city really could tip the scales in Trump's favor. They said they were motivated by the economy, the fact that groceries are still so expensive. And then, you know, immigration and the uptick in crime that they attribute to border security. So they think that former President Donald Trump has a better handle on those issues, and that he'll be a better leader. And as a result, you know, that Philly could really help him win Pennsylvania ultimately. So we'll just have to see where things go.
All right. WHYY news reporter Aaron Moselle at GOP headquarters. We'll hear from him as the night progresses. It is 8:18 at WHYY. We'll take a break and be right back.
Earlier at noon on Studio 2, we talked about TV shows and got some insider news about binge-worthy shows. I decided to check out The Penguin on HBO.
This show proves that you can take a comic book title and make it a legitimately thoughtful prestige drama.
Find Studio 2 wherever you get your podcasts and listen live Tuesday through Thursday at noon on WHYY.
And we are back at 8:20 here on WHYY with our election night special. Donald Trump and Kamala Harris are roughly tied in polling from the swing state of Pennsylvania. Disparaging words about Puerto Rico and Latinos at a Trump rally in New York could be disrupting that balance. WHYY's Carmen Russell-Suchansky visited Latino majority Reading.
It's around 3 p.m. and El Mofongo, a Puerto Rican and Dominican restaurant in Reading, Pennsylvania, is much fuller than it was at noon. It's one of many Latin restaurants in the city of around 95,000 people, where Hispanics make up more than 70% of the population. Of those, Puerto Ricans are the largest group. That's why comments made by comedian Tony Hinchcliffe at a Donald Trump rally in New York are a hot topic. Hinchcliffe called Puerto Rico a floating island of garbage. Eva Clemente, a Puerto Rican voter here in Reading, called it personal.
He's talking about our ancestors, our families, our parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles. I grew up in Puerto Rico, so to me, it was very hurtful hear him say that about our island.
The Democrat said she was already voting for Vice President Harris. Misael Nieves, a Republican, was also offended, but still plans to vote for Donald Trump.
I do feel like his campaign party should have addressed it immediately. It doesn't take my focus off of the end game, you know, is to get our country back to where it needs to be, financially, security and everything.
David Villegas, however, says he had planned to vote for Trump and still leans that way. but the comment gives him pause now.
It just feels offensive, you know. So it's hard to back up somebody when you've been offended on the other side, too, you know. I'm still undecided, but there's still hours left, so.
Joseph Nunez is the city's ranking Republican. Voters like Vejesus concern him. Nunez, who is Dominican-American, says that the scandal has made it harder as he knocks on doors in the state's fourth largest city to drum up support for Trump.
The comment was poor, and it doesn't reflect on who we are at all. We are fighting tooth and nail every day. We're on the ground. We're on the streets. We're talking to people to let them know that we are not racist.
Just a mile away, Democrats are looking to capitalize on the scandal by hosting a Hispanic resident-focused event. A few hundred attendees came to listen to music, hold signs that say "We are not trash" in Spanish, and listen to Puerto Rican political leaders and celebrities like Rosie Perez, who is here to campaign for Vice President Kamala Harris. Perez called Hinchcliffe's comments a gift from the Republican Party.
And we're capitalizing on it, and so that's why I'm here.
Trump, perhaps trying to do some damage control, made his second visit to Reading in a month yesterday. Reading Mayor Eddie Moran says he thinks it's just too late, however.
I think that he has lost a lot of votes. I think that he just wants to use the venue because it's a good location for neighboring communities to come, but they're not going to be a lot of local people supporting him there.
Just a little while later, Harris also stopped by Reading, part of her final blitz of Pennsylvania, which culminated in the star-studded rally on the steps of the Philadelphia Art Museum. She made a surprise visit to the old San Juan Cafe, making her own bid for a population that may decide this election.
I'm very hungry. I don't get a chance to eat as often.
Carmen Russell-Sluchansky, WHYY News in Reading.
And we're hearing more from DA Larry Krasner responding to Donald Trump's claim of massive cheating in Philadelphia. He said, and I quote, "There is no evidence to substantiate any claims of cheating." Krasner did say that there are still lines at polling locations in Philadelphia as of 8:17, which he says consistent with what they've seen all day. Lines have been a little longer than normal. My next guest, a man who has been a Democrat, a Republican, now an independent, former candidate for mayor, now historical filmmaker, Sam Katz. Sam?
Tom, how are you?
Good. Sam, you have seen a lot of Philadelphia politics. Have you ever seen anything like this before in your life?
Well, not only not in Philadelphia, but I've never seen anything like this ever. And I think that what I'm hearing about turnout, what I saw as I moved a little bit around the city this afternoon, Joe Biden did extremely well. I think he got a little bit more than 605,000 votes in Philadelphia in 2020. If Kamala Harris can improve on that or at least do it that as well, that could be very significant in the Pennsylvania outcome. I know everybody wants to talk about Erie and Northampton and all these other counties, but the margin of victory out of Philadelphia could be very impactful on the overall outcome in the state.
Sam, I'm going to ask you to reach deep into your memory banks. When you ran for mayor, what was the turnout?
The 1999 race, which was a very close race between then Council President Street and me, he got 245,000 votes. I got 238,000 votes. So it was about 460,000, 455,000 votes, but nothing to compare to the 730,000 votes that came out in 2020. But mayoral elections do very well. They just don't do as well as presidential.
And you had a contested race. Now, in Philadelphia, when the Democrats come out like this and there are lines at the polling places after 8 o'clock, what does that show you?
Well, first of all, you know that the litigation that was prosecuted in Pennsylvania put a limit on the number of voters that could be in a polling place at any one time, I believe, to 10. Which automatically slows everything down. We did not have that in any of the elections that I was in, and it was an attempt, I think, by supporters of Trump to create more chaos at the polling places. But if you show up at the polling place by 8 o'clock, no matter how far in line back in the back of the line you are, you came to the polling place in time to vote. And in 1999, and I think also in 2003, we saw large, heavy lines. We didn't have the 10-person limitation. But as long as you were there by 8 o'clock, you were allowed to vote. And today, it looks to me like there's an awful lot of people, because of this 10-person limitation, who are being forced to wait long, long times, as much as 2 hours in some instances. But many of them are still very excited about getting to the polls, and I think the outcome is going to be rather dramatic, but that will be determined over the next couple of hours.
That's true. And when you see a big turnout like this, you know the Democratic Party is definitely bringing more people to the polls than the Republicans.
Well, in Philadelphia, that's not really a high bar. The Republican Party is strong in the far northeast, strong in the south part of the city, South Philadelphia, southeast Philadelphia. But the organizational effort is pretty limited to, you know, maybe a half a dozen wards. I would expect that the determining factor in Pennsylvania will be African-American and Latino turnout in both Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and the other smaller cities, Chester, Coatesville, and so on. So if African-American voters come out, if the male African-American voters that were thinking about Trump were persuaded by their wives and daughters and mothers to vote for Kamala, that could be very significant. But African-American turnout to me is key to the success of the Democrats in Philadelphia.
And that's what we are seeing, especially in disadvantaged neighborhoods, people standing outside the polls, even after that 8 p.m. closing. They put somebody at the back of the line. That person stays with them all the way through the line until the last vote is cast.
Well, if that is what's happening, that will not be good for the Pennsylvania Trump outcome, because I was up in the northeastern part of the state this morning, and I can tell you that there were not long lines, which is where I would expect Trump to do very well. I think there was more mail-in voting among Republicans than there was 4 years ago. But, you know, there's been so many demographic changes that have occurred in the last 4 years all over the country. And you think about places like Northampton, which was identified on national television, Northampton being Easton in the Lehigh Valley, Northampton County.
Sam, I got to go. We're moving on with some other things.
Good luck.
Appreciate it.
I'm Cherry Gregg, and the Good Souls Project is back with Season 5. This week's honoree is a Philly-based lung cancer survivor who uses her story to advocate, raise awareness, and empower others.
Prevention has been drilled into us. If you don't smoke, you won't get lung cancer. Well, that's not true. Anybody with lungs can get lung cancer, and no one deserves it.
Terry Ann DiGiulio was diagnosed with lung cancer 3 times over 19 years, and each time, thanks to medical advances, she survived. She's taken those extra years focusing her time and energy on pushing for lung cancer research and prevention.
I found a calling through this disease, and I just want to help people.
Hear Terry Ann's family story this Lung Cancer Awareness Month and nominate your person at whyy.org/goodsouls. And hear about a new Good Soul every Monday afternoon at 1:33 and 5:44. The Good Souls Project is supported by PICO.
Welcome back to our coverage of Election 2024. I'm Tom McDonald, WHYY News. We will take another turn around the horn as we continue to hear what's going on. We do have one confirmed winner, Andy Kim in New Jersey over Curtis Bashaw. And we did hear in Delaware, Lisa Rochester is being predicted as the winner by the Associated Press there. Let's go back to our field of reporters. We'll go to Amanda Fitzpatrick, who is in Scranton with the Bob Casey campaign. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. We just had breaking news in my ears. DA Larry Krasner is talking about one of several bomb threats we've heard in The Reason. Larry Krasner said they are investigating a bomb threat.
Phony bomb threats. No bombs. No one hurt. No boom. None of that happened, okay? There is a second event that occurred, which is a little unusual, which is that an individual walked into a polling place. That individual made a threatening comment to the effect of he was going to bomb that place. He was detained. Police are continuing to investigate that case.
And we will keep you apprised of that. There's also one in Chester County that the governor is going to be talking about. Let's go to Pittsburgh, and Barbara Barr of WGAL Television is with the McCormick campaign. Barbara, welcome to WHYY. Tell us what the feeling is at McCormick headquarters.
Well, thanks for having me. Yes, well, the ballroom here at the Fairmont Hotel is definitely filling up with a lot of supporters. I think they're cautiously optimistic, but let's face it, Dave McCormick's certainly an underdog in this race. I mean, he's taking on a three-term incumbent in Democratic Senator Bob Casey, who has led the polls pretty much throughout the race, but they certainly did tighten in the last month or two. So that has the McCormick campaign energized. They've been pushing for change. They say he will bring change to Washington, D.C., calling Bob Casey a career politician and kind of trying to tie him in with the Biden-Harris administration on issues such as the border and inflation. While Casey has hit McCormick back in part on his residency in Pennsylvania when he was a hedge fund CEO, he lived in Connecticut. He's questioned him on that, as well as investments he made with that company in Chinese companies that manufacture medicinal fentanyl, as well as military equipment. So an interesting race, certainly one everybody in the nation really is watching.
Barbara, the thing that I look at on a night like this is the people that come to the headquarters. I know it's early. Are you seeing a lot of people showing up with a smile on their face after leaving their voting places?
Here in the ballroom, people are pretty enthusiastic at this moment because obviously we've got a long way to go, or they believe we have a long way to go. I think they felt they were getting some momentum late in the race. Just how much he was able to leave an impression on voters still remains to be seen. He was campaigning across the state. I was at the Trump rally in Lancaster on Sunday. Dave McCormick was there. He was with former President Trump in Reading, also with him in Pittsburgh. So he's certainly been campaigning hard with him, hoping that some of that Trump popularity in Pennsylvania will rub off on him. So at this point, everyone's in a good mood and hopeful, but we'll see as the night progresses, because again, he is taking on a tough challenge here with Bob Casey, three times a senator, elected senator in the state. Of course, his father was a two-term governor in Pennsylvania, so he's going up against a pretty strong legacy.
Absolutely. Barbara Barr of WGAL Television, thank you very much for joining us here on WHYY. We stay with the Republicans in the Pennsylvania suburbs. Emily Neal is out there. Emily, tell us what you're hearing tonight and what the mood is.
Hi, Tom. I'm here in Newtown in Bucks County. The mood is, spirits are high. I've spoken with a couple of key Republican organizers who have told me that already in early voting, Republicans are up from where they were in 2020. So I think especially in Bucks County, it's a key swing county and obviously the decisive swing state of Pennsylvania. And Republicans are feeling confident. In July, Republicans overtook Democrats in voter registration for the first time since 2007. So a lot of the organizers are feeling confident about their chances in this election.
And as the night goes on, we'll see more Republican votes come in. I would imagine that the early voting is more democratically weighed from Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. I did hear a little cheer in the background. Something must have came in good.
So there have been cheers throughout the night for when Florida was called and other states have been called in Trump's favor. Right now, it's hard to see exactly what the source of the cheering is. But again, people have been reacting to Fox News is up on the big screen.
Gotcha.
In the front of the room.
Gotcha.
And there's a lot of cheers.
Keep an eye on it for us. We really appreciate it. We'll now switch to the KCU campaign. Amanda Fitzpatrick is in Scranton with us. Amanda?
Hi, yes. I just arrived here to the watch party. And, you think about just how late this night could go. I've talked to some of the staffers, and they are prepared for the long haul, so to speak. The room is filled already, though. There have been people that have come, the supporters as well as the media from as far as D.C. and Philly, where we're coming from. But everyone's just here to try to get an idea of who will win the seat. Earlier today, I was at Scranton High School, where I mentioned that Senator Casey came to cast his ballot. He brought his wife. He also had his family, and they came as a group. They walked up, and he hugged every single person there, I think, as he walked up. A lot of people knew him by name. He knew them by name. He had about 40 supporters cheering him on. And it was definitely, you could tell, as they call it, Casey country. So it's been one of these races where you're at a polling location and you see tons of people wearing Casey shirts and holding signs, playing music. And they even had a cardboard cutout of Kamala Harris as well. So people were taking pictures with her. I tried to get just an idea of what the voters were looking like here in Scranton. So I did talk to a lot of people as they were coming in and out. I met a student from the University of Scranton, and what they were doing, they were busing students over so they could vote. And this student I talked to, Tyler, he said it was his first time voting in an election. He was a freshman there at University of Scranton. And he said that he was voting for Kamala Harris because he said that she represented him. And he was concerned if Trump won that he would not have the representation. Now, when I talked to some of these people about the senatorial race, some people weren't as knowledgeable. But I think in talking to some of the supporters who were knowledgeable, they feel that if they're coming to vote for Kamala, that's a vote for Casey. So for them, they feel it's still a win.
Well, I will say, I think you've seen this. It's a little bit of a culture shock traveling to Scranton when you can see how big Casey is up there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, driving in, of course, you see Joe Biden Expressway. So, you know, we're talking about the current president. He's very known here as well. But when it comes to Casey, I mean, the school board president I talked to, he described his family as like the Kennedys. He said they're like the Kennedys of our area. Because he said that they're all well known. You know, the grandfather was a governor. His son is one in office as well. So they all have some type of political position. But the biggest thing that I learned in talking to some of the people here in Scranton is that they look at him as the person for the working class. Some of the union reps I talked to some teachers, some union members, and they all said the same thing. They're concerned that if his opponent, David McCormick, wins, that they are going to feel like they are going to be left out and that Pennsylvania as well as Scranton will be left behind. So they were really pushing, which is why they were out there again for hours, still just campaigning. And there have been a lot of people traveling from all over the country here to Scranton and Lackawanna County so that they could, in fact, canvass and try to get more votes. One woman I talked to from New York said, you know, even if she could get six people to vote for Casey and for Kamala Harris, then that would be a win for her and worth her taking time off to come down here and canvass for those votes.
Amanda, take your no-dos. It'll probably be a late night. Amanda Fitzpatrick, WHYY News in Scranton. And now let's look at some of the Jersey races. WHYY's Kenneth Burns is here in the studio.
New Jersey is not much of a factor considering the swing states, but we do have a call from the Associated Press. New Jersey is for Vice President Harris, as is the first state in Delaware. But there's action in New Jersey as well. All congressional races, there are a couple of municipal questions, particularly in West Windsor, about whether or not to have municipal or partisan municipal elections. Right now, they're nonpartisan. But right now, we have Donald Norcross seeking another term. He's taking on Teddy Liddell, who's a Republican, and that's expected to go Democrat because there's more registered Democrats in the first district compared to the rest of South Jersey. Fun fact, most of the voters in South Jersey are unaffiliated for the most part, at least in the three core congressional districts in our area. And Republican incumbent in the second district, that's your southern edge of New Jersey, Jeff Van Drew. He's seeking a third term as a Republican, fourth term overall. Democrat challenger Joe Salerno, he has had a spirited contest with him. The big one for South Jersey and parts of Central Jersey, the third congressional district. This is the district where now Senator-elect Andy Kim is currently representing a contest. It's a full race with Herb Conaway, the Assemblyman Democrat, Rajesh Mohan, Republican, Stephen Welser is with the Green Party, Chris Russomano is with the Libertarian Party. And then I just saw the call in the 4th District, that's some of Ocean County, Chris Smith, the Republican incumbent. That was called by the Associated Press a few minutes ago. And then the one that everyone has their eyes on tonight, Sue Altman, Democratic challenging Congressman Tom Kane Jr., the former governor's son, the Republican incumbent. She has really brought a race to the point that the Democrats have poured a lot of last-minute money into that race.
WHYY News' Kenneth Burns is with us. want to reiterate that the New Jersey and Delaware race for president have been called as a win for Kamala Harris by the Associated Press. And that's expected. We will see things as they go along tonight. The big jewel of the night is right here in Pennsylvania. We will keep you on top of things as we go along. Now we brought WHYY senior reporter Susan Phillips into the studio. Susan, you've been looking at the issues that are forming where the votes came out tonight. Abortion's one of those issues in the race after the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade in 2022, which eliminated federal protections for abortions. How are we seeing that play out today?
That's a big question, Tom, and it'll be interesting to see what the polls show on that. Abortion access does have bipartisan support. A Pew Research poll from May found 63% of those surveyed support protections for abortion. But since the Dobbs decision, which is the decision that overturned Roe, abortion has been banned outright in 13 states. It's not banned in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware, but voters also across the country have approved all of the statewide ballot measures that have worked to secure abortion rights. So it just goes to show you how the voters actually feel about that. We don't know yet to what degree abortion played into this race, but turnout among women generally tends to be higher. And it's expected that access to women's health care, like abortion and other issues, is a prime reason that could motivate women voters.
Now, Susan, your specialty is the environment. How has that played a factor in this election?
That's a good question, Tom. Now, environment rarely ranks at the top of the list for voters. However, it's such a stark contrast this year. There's a lot at stake, especially since during Trump's first term, he rolled back more than 100 regulations and, as you may remember, pulled the U.S. out of the Paris Climate Accords. He wants to expand oil and gas drilling, and he promised to get rid of offshore wind on day one, which he can't do, but he can certainly delay it. And, you know, he can put a wrench in a lot of things that the Biden administration has set in place.
Now, that offshore wind issue is very important to the South Jersey population, crucial in a lot of races in New Jersey, and very important to people, especially at the Jersey Shore, that have fought this issue tooth and nail.
That's right. It definitely was an issue for a lot of local races in New Jersey. But this time around, it doesn't seem to have played into a lot. Now, in Pennsylvania, there's also the issue of quote unquote fracking, which, you know, a president can't ban fracking to begin with. But there's all been all this back and forth about will she ban fracking? Will she not ban fracking?
Will he frack more?
Yes. I mean, the fact of the matter is most of the fracking in Pennsylvania happens on private land, a small portion on state land. There's no federal land where fracking happens. And so it's important for people to remember that a president can't really have a lot of impact on what happens when it comes to fracking in Pennsylvania. It's definitely a big divide between the two. It's a very stark contrast. You know, the Biden administration, they rolled out one of the largest climate spending bills ever. That's the Inflation Reduction Act, which has gone into expanding a lot of renewable energy and energy conservation programs across the country, electric vehicles, electric vehicle chargers. The list goes on and on. So the question is, you know, if Trump is elected, how much of that can he roll back? And I think there's a lot of money that's already been spent or is in the works, and he can't, you know, stop that. But he could put a wrench into that. And of course, on the climate, you know, she's sort of in line with Biden. She's definitely in line with Biden on that and feels that climate is an existential threat.
But with all these differences, we're still neck and neck.
We are. Exactly. I mean, and we won't know. Of course, this is early in the evening, Tom. We don't know yet. But, you know, it's just good to remind people that back in 2016, Trump won Pennsylvania by just 44,292 votes out of more than 6 million. And that was a margin of 0.72%. And it was the narrowest of margins in a presidential election since 1840. And that's when William Henry Harrison beat Martin Van Buren by just 0.12%.
Thank you for that history lesson, WHYY senior reporter Susan Phillips. We'll hear more from you in our next half hour.
Thanks, Tom.
Nothing surprising here, but the Associated Press has called the following congressional races for Democrats: Brendan Boyle in the 2nd, Dwight Evans in the 3rd, Mary Gay Scanlon in the 5th, and Summer Lee in the 12th. Evans was unopposed. We'll be back with more right after this.
Hi, this is Jennifer Lynn. Are you over the age of 70 and a half and have an IRA? Want to make a difference and support the programming you love? Consider making a tax-free gift through your IRA to reduce your gross income and save you money, while also ensuring that your favorite WHYY programs continue for generations to come. To learn more about giving through your IRA, call us at 215-351-2000 or visit whyy.org/IRA.
Welcome back to WHYY Election Night Special Coverage. Let's go to Delaware and the Democratic Party. Sarah Mueller. Sarah, what are you hearing down there?
Well, I'm here at the Chase Center in Wilmington on the Riverwalk, and there's a lot of excited Democrats here gathered to watch the election results. The AP has called the race for Congresswoman Lisa Blunt Rochester. She'll be succeeding Senator Tom Carper, who has served for 23 years in the Senate. And they have also called the race for Democrat Matt Meyer, who will be taking over for retiring or outgoing Governor John Carney, who will be Wilmington's next mayor.
And you're hearing that it's a definite for that. So what else are we hearing? Anything about the other major races?
Well, we're still waiting to hear on State Senator Sarah McBride's race for the U.S. House. She will be a historic figure if she is able to win that race, because she would be the first transgender person to serve in Congress. She would also be the youngest person that Delaware would send to Congress since President Joe Biden won his seat in the Senate in 1972.
All right, that's WHYY News Delaware politics reporter Sarah Mueller. We'll now pick up with former Congressman, U.S. Congressman Bob Brady, who's now head of the Democratic Party in Philadelphia. Congressman, we're hearing some things about turnout, hearing it's pretty big in Philadelphia.
That's what I'm getting. I'm getting that we're maybe at about 78%, but everybody I'm talking to, some are different, but everybody I'm talking to say it's going to be a record turnout. Much better than 2020.
Now, that's surprising because Omar Sabir, the head of city commissioners, didn't think it was going to be that big. And you're saying you're seeing this all over the region.
Well, every polling places, they're running out of ballots in the voting machines. We had to go get all over the city, grab more ballots out of for the voting machines so people could put them in and vote. I just talked to Omar. He's agreeing now that it's probably a record turnout. Just how much, I don't know. But some projected are 78%, which is extremely high. I hope that that's right, but I'm not really sure.
Now, 4 years ago, it was 68%, and you came out of Philadelphia plus around 500,000 votes. What is your goal tonight to come ahead for Kamala Harris?
We came out a little less than 500, but it's the same thing. If we can get up to 480, 490, and maybe 500, it's a done deal.
So you say, as people watch the votes come in tonight, your magic number for a win in Pennsylvania would be 500,000 plus whatever Donald Trump gathers.
Well, I'm understanding that there's 860,000 people already voted. I'm just hoping that we get 75,000 plus. That would really put us in good shape. If we get up to 500,000, it's a done deal.
What is it that drew people out to the polls today? Was it the good weather? Was it the race? I mean, what do you see that got people out?
Well, you know, we really, really worked this thing. I mean, I never seen so many motorcades in the last month. I never seen so many people door knock. I never seen so many canvassers. And finally, we kind of woke up the campaign committee, and you know, the coordinated campaign committee. And they started really, really working with us and with our committee people. And we just got it together. You know, in the last month, people started realizing, hey, there's really an election going on, and that the contrast between the two candidates is extreme.
And people are coming out to vote, you know, whether they're voting for who they want to vote for, but they're still coming out to vote in very, very record high numbers. There were people sitting on the polls at 6:30, quarter seven, waiting for them to open. Unbelievable. So I really think we're going to do really, really big. I think we're going to reach the 78 or maybe more percent turnout that we really need, total turnout on total voters.
Is this surprising to you, Bob? It's there were a lot of people thinking that Philadelphia might not get those numbers, especially if it holds out to be 78%.
Well, you know, they always get on Philadelphia. They put all the pressure on us. They need us to overcome the rest of the parts of the state that don't do their job. You know, so, no, I don't care about them. I mean, it's a lot of pressure, absolutely. But my committee people and our voters did a great job. Again, working with the coordinated campaign, we finally got together with them in the last month. And I never see so much activity, you know, really so much activity. I just hope that it rings true that we can really get these numbers we need to take Carmelo over the top in Philadelphia, real strong numbers to be able to win the state of Pennsylvania.
Now, as the votes come in, what would be your signals for people to look for when it comes down to the voting as it comes in? Philadelphia usually comes in early because they have a quick machine to get people and get those votes into the commissioners.
Well, like I said, if we get anywhere north of 470,000, we can go to sleep. And I think we're going to get that, and I hope we're going to get that. But we can just say, hey, we did our job. It got done, you know, and everybody in the world will take credit. But guess what? Our ward leaders and our committee people did their job, and that's what's most important to me.
Do you see the same numbers coming out for Bob Casey? What about the Senate race?
You know what? I'm not tracking that, and I should be, but I really think Bob Casey's okay. Every indication I have that he bounced back up to about a 5-point race. People are realizing this guy's a carpetbagger. They're realizing that he's not a Pennsylvanian. And naturally, Bob Casey is our guy. He's one of our favorite sons in Philadelphia. And I'm sure he's bringing the vote just as close as Kamala Harris is. I'm sure of that.
And that's Congressman Bob Brady, head of the Democratic Party in Philadelphia. Thank you very much for joining us. Stay tuned. We have WHYY coverage going through the evening. We will take you right through the night with NPR News, and we will have local updates as they are available. We know that we have a lot of races that have already finished up, so keep an eye to WHYY.org. And we will give you the latest, and we will have live updates throughout the night here on WHYY. AP has called the race for president in New Jersey and Delaware for Kamala Harris. We also have the Senate races in New Jersey called for Kim, in Delaware for Rochester. And we are waiting to see what happens in the Casey McCormick race as the night goes on. And of course, at the top of the ticket, Harris and Trump. NPR will give us everything we need to know, and we will have local news and analysis coming up throughout the evening. Please stay with us here at WHYY, your NPR member station, and tomorrow morning on Morning Edition.